Wonder Shift comes in two parts, but it starts with the essence that sometimes when we talk about change, it's so overwhelming, right? And it feels like this whoosh of like, oh, I can't do all of this. It feels so big. And so I really wanted to think about, okay, how do we break down that bigness and overwhelmingness of change? And that's where the shift comes in. If we take baby shifts and we break it down, it's more manageable, it's more nuggetable, it's more acceptable for our brains, really, to move through those. And then the wonder piece is around taking the wonder in our control. So it's not about like, I wonder how many stars are in the sky. It's more like, I wonder if I restructured my business, what would that look like? And what would the shifts need to happen in order to get there? Or I wonder if I left and started my own business, and what would it take to get there? So that's sort of the blend of the two.
This is Inspiring Women. I'm Lori McGraw, and I'm here with Judy Goldberg, and we're here in the Redesign Health New York office. I'm so excited. We're here with an audience of the Rising Women in Healthcare, which is a group put together by Meg, and Chelsea to really bring together a community of exceptional women leaders here in the Redesign family, as well as some other New York professionals who are here. Judy and I are going to be talking today about her new book, which is Wonder Shift. We're going to understand what that means. And then we're going to like spend some time interacting with this exceptional group of women leaders. So Judy, I am excited to be speaking with you. We met a couple weeks ago when you were telling me about Wonder Shift. And before we even get into Wonder Shift, let's talk about you. I mean, you started as a teacher, you're a coach, you went and traveled internationally for several years, and now you're back in New York. And so give us a little bit of the bio sketch.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here today and being in this beautiful office. It's such a treat and a great way to start a Monday morning. So my background is, I think the thread of my background is all in education. I was teaching classes in the basement of my house when I was 8 years old with the neighborhood kids. Okay. Yes, they would come over. I would tap my ruler on the desk and get them all in order to do all of the exercises. And I think I knew from them that teaching and education was part of my being. I ended up going and getting my undergrad in education. I then moved to Costa Rica and I taught in an international school there. And it was there that I got really into curriculum design and going from teaching third grade to high school. And I loved it. And I really loved the design aspect, but I also started teaching teachers. So that was my first move into educational adults.
Okay.
Then from there, I went to...
Can adults be educated still? Is that still a thing?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So that's exactly it. So I moved into corporate learning and development. So I transferred all of my skills in design and leadership development and all of that into corporate learning and development, working with Discovery for 10 years.
Okay.
And then from there, I started my own business. So this is actually my 10th year of having started Wonder Shift.
Okay.
And it was something that... Part of the inspiration of being at Discovery is I loved my job. It took me 2 years to leave. I didn't leave for any ill reasons. I left because there was something inside of me that said there's more. There's this entrepreneurial spirit in me and I had to let loose. And so then formed Wonder Shift.
Okay. So let's talk about Wonder Shift. Okay. And I think this is actually a really timely conversation because, you know, we're here in this New York office of incredibly talented professionals. And we've got, you know, the various generations. We've got the older millennials or younger boomers like me, but not out here. We've got millennials, we've got the Gen Z, and we're talking about a very varied workforce. You know, we've got hybrid, we've got remote, we've got in office. We have people who are engaged or not engaged or who are looking to supercharge their careers or sort of wondering what they're doing now. So What is Wonder Shift? Why don't we just start there?
Okay. So Wonder Shift comes in two parts, but it starts with the essence that sometimes when we talk about change, it's so overwhelming, right? And it feels like this whoosh of like, oh, I can't do all of this. It feels so big. And so I really wanted to think about, okay, how do we break down that bigness and overwhelmingness of change? And that's where the shift comes in. If we take baby shifts and we break it down, it's more manageable, it's more nuggetable, it's more acceptable for our brains, really, mm-hmm. to move through those. And then the wonder piece is around taking the wonder in our control. Mm-hmm. So it's not about like, I wonder how many stars are in the sky. It's more like, I wonder if I restructured my business, what would that look like? And what would the shifts need to happen in order to get there? Or I wonder if I left and started my own business, mm-hmm. and what would it take to get there? So that's sort of the blend of the two.
Is it meant to be about sort of like, you know, finding your path and your career journey? Is it meant to be, you know, sort of like a supercharger to a career journey?
Well, or both? So it could be both. It's working with businesses. It could be anything from building a new team, mm-hmm. to restructuring an organization, mm-hmm. looking at organizational design. It could be even shifting the way you run a meeting, mm-hmm. right? Or a retreat and bringing people together, mm-hmm. Changing that up a little bit in mm-hmm. terms of businesses. And one of my things I always say about working with businesses is I want to maximize the brains in the room. Mm-hmm. Because you have, like you said earlier, we have amazing brains in the room. How do we maximize them, knowing that all of us think and behave differently? Mm-hmm. So I use a tool called Emergenetics, which looks at our different behaviors and the different ways we think. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always trying to design something with our whole brains in mind.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, we're here at Redesign yes. Health. Now, Redesign Health, just as an organization, they have put together and spawned 50 different companies in healthcare. They're at sort of the forefront
yes.
of innovation, many mm-hmm. would say, and they are going through a lot of shift in terms of how they're organized and who they're working with. They're always bringing in new talent and working with teams. Let's maybe talk about the different pieces yes. of Wondership. I get to show the book. It's kind of fun. I feel like it's kind of like a really fun thing here. You've got these different sections
yes.
That you have. And so let's just say what they are. So they are shape, harmonize, imagine, focus, and team. So
yes.
shift. So tell us what shape, harmonize, imagine, focus, and team are all about.
Okay. Well, I'll share first how it came to be.
Okay.
So the idea of the book probably came 5 years ago.
Okay.
And it came through and was the foundation of the book came from my own personal shift that I went through. And I like to think of shifts. There's three different kinds of shifts. There's natural shift. Those are like the shifts that happen in our life. Like we get older, we go through menopause, like these natural shifts, you can't just kind of help. Then you have imposed shifts. And these are shifts usually thrown at us.
Yes.
Right. Or if something natural disaster happens and something happens with someone's home or something like that, a healthcare issue. Mm-hmm. Then we have initiated shifts, which are the shifts that we initiate. I'm mm-hmm. going to leave my job. I'm going to move to a new country, things like that. So I had an imposed shift thrown at me
yes.
in 2017. And
yeah, let's talk about that okay. a little bit, Judy, if you don't mind
no,
sharing that story at
not
all.
Not at all. I'll share it in brief because it's so common now, but I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2017. I was living in London at the time mm-hmm. and my family's very steeped in healthcare and they're like, Judy, come home. You can't do this on your own. Mm-hmm. So coming to New York was not a choice. It was based on a situation.
Yep.
And I came home thinking I'd be here for 6 weeks, done, dusted. No, that mm-hmm. is not the case. Mm-hmm. It was a year-long science experiment. And through that year-long science experiment of going through breast cancer, a double mastectomy, implants, all of that stuff, I realized how lucky I was to have so many tools that I had been teaching for the last 20 years at my disposal. Mm-hmm. And those tools are shift. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk through the chapter. So,
well, first of all, thank you for sharing that story. And it's wonderful to see you in very healthy form.
Yes.
And so yay for that.
Yes.
And it's also one of those sort of like ironic twists of life, right? Here you have been working on shift
yep.
and then you have that imposed shift upon you
yes.
That you had to deal with.
Yes.
So then that you've now fueled that further into your work.
Let's
talk about that some more.
Okay. So in a nutshell, the shape chapter is all about shaping your mindset, because I also realized that when you go through shift that is imposed, it is all about your mindset. It makes the biggest difference. And so even in my first pages of my journal, I went back and looked at it. I wrote, I will start with a smile and end with a smile because it feels like the right thing to do. That was in my first paragraph of my Caring Bridge journal, which I wrote in. So shaping the mindset, and it's not just growth mindset. I went into a scientific mindset. I was like, I'm not going to ask why this happened to me, but I'm going to get to understand my body in new ways that I've never known before. And I wanted copious information and notes that I took throughout the journey to write this 150-page journal. Then harmonize. Mm-hmm. Harmony, and you've got to find the harmony within yourself when you're going through this. And part of what I think about when it comes to harmony is being aligned with your values. So if you're not sure what your values are, then doing the work to understand your values so that you know that every decision you make is actually driven by your values. Mm-hmm. And if you're driving your decisions by your values, then you personally can be in harmony. Mm-hmm. But it was also about finding harmony with everyone else, because when you're going through a journey like this, you don't have time for energy for anything that's out of harmony. So being able to find harmony with others was really important as well.
Okay.
I was imagining the possibilities and visualizing the future. So I went, instead of what's going to happen, you know, in a negative way, I went to visualizing what the end would look like, mm-hmm. what I would be looking like, what I would be feeling like, how I would go through and imagine what I could do after.
Mm-hmm. Can we just like pause on that, yes. though, Judy? Because I mean, that's hard. Okay. So that you, I mean, you're using your health example,
yes.
And, you know, with this optimistic and, you know, just getting to end, but I mean, let's be honest, like that stuff is like incredibly draining.
Yes.
It's physically draining, most certainly,
yes.
but it's, you know, just having the mental capacity to deal with something that challenging.
Yes.
So when you're in that, or you're in a yes. big job shift, or mm-hmm. in a big career shift, you know, how do you help people mm-hmm. get that energy? Because being optimistic is a challenge in and of itself.
That's true. And I'm not about the toxic positivity. Like
okay.
there are, oh, trust me, like I cried a river. Mm-hmm. There were moments when I was cursing up a storm. I mean, it is not just like happy-go-lucky smile all the time.
Yeah.
It's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions that I ask my clients when I'm coaching them, and then I'll ask myself, is when they come to me and they're like, oh my God, this is awful. This is tragic. This is going to ruin the business or my career or whatever. My question is it possible that what you are labeling as negative, doom, gloom, et cetera, could offer a positive in the future or
okay.
a benefit in the future? And the idea of that is not to negate how they're feeling. It's more to move them from a brain perspective into what the possibilities could be,
okay,
rather than staying here, which keeps people stuck.
Yep.
So that's one of the things that I'll look at.
Okay.
And like, even for me, like I was like, okay, I will gain a new community of people I never knew. I will learn more about my human body and the template than I ever thought, right? So I leaned into what I would learn and how I would grow as a human versus what I was losing. So I think that's really
like incredible. I'm just like, this is amazing. So
I think that's, yeah, like, so with COVID, like COVID was hard for
yes.
a lot of people. I did not find it as hard because I had been through and built resilience from that experience.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, COVID, I'm alone in an apartment in New York City. But what I can do is get out and go for a walk in the park every morning.
Yeah.
What I can do is get on Zoom with my friends across the world that I haven't talked to for a long time. What I can do. So it's really focused on that can mm-hmm. versus can't.
Okay. Okay. So give us the last couple pieces.
So the last couple pieces are focus.
Mm-hmm.
So once you've imagined all the possibilities, if you keep imagining all the possibilities, which I can do sometimes, then you go in a million different directions. So being able to narrow down and mm-hmm. focus is so critical. And one acronym that I love for focus that I learned from another podcast, totally blanking out on it, but John Lee DeMoss did it, and it's about entrepreneurship.
Okay.
And he said, focus is follow one course until success. And
okay.
I love that. So it's about, okay, well, what I'm going to focus on and follow that course so that I can be successful in that and just really figure out, what do I need to do? What do I need to let go of?
Okay.
Because we only get a certain amount of energy every single day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the last one is team. Team to me is like all to my heart. It's about building the team you need around you
yeah.
in order to move towards your next goal or through your shift. And I would say my team was the most important thing that I had going through my journey.
Yeah.
I had an incredible team of friends. I had a team of doctors. I had a team of support network, strangers.
Yeah.
And that was pretty Powerful.
How would we apply that to a work environment? Okay. Mm-hmm. So where you have colleagues may be friends, colleagues may just be acquaintances. Yes. They may be people you just need to tolerate but you need to work together with them. So how do you apply wondership to the professional environment?
So much of it. I mean, I work with different organizations and teams all the time. Mm-hmm. So mindset comes in every single one.
Okay.
I mean, there's no question that we can do a ton of mindset exercises. I might even do one physical one with you. If you're
okay.
Finding harmony. I mean, sometimes that takes some mediation. So there's other skills we can build in. Sometimes we have major conflict. Oftentimes when people come to me, they'll say, can you please help me work with this difficult person?
Yep.
And my response is, who's the difficult one? And they kind of laugh like you just did. I'm like, could it be that they're just different?
Yeah.
Right. So that's where I use emergenetics, which really looks at your profile. So if I'm very conceptual and analytical and I like to weigh pros and cons and think big picture, and I'm working with someone who's very structured and very about the people and wants to stick to a plan, we look at that and we work to figure out how we can both flex to get the best out of those situations.
Okay. All right. So let's just like bring it back and we'll close out sort of with, what have you seen with clients, with companies you've worked with? What are some of the results of applying some of these wondership principles?
So I have seen in a nutshell, I've seen tears. I think tears are so positive because they're a release. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when we're going through certain exercises, tears come out and I'm like, goodness, it needed to come out. It's being held in, and that messes with harmony. So tears actually could lead to harmony. Aha moments, especially when people realize that the people on their team aren't doing things purposely to upset someone, but they realize, oh, you need more evidence and data to shift your eye and come on board with this. Like, so those aha moments. I'm thinking about also, I was working with a client and she had my text. We've been working together 5 years. So she has personal access to me. And she wrote me one day and she's like, I'm quitting. I'm done. It's over. Like, I was like, couldn't you get on the phone? Let's talk through this. And she was just jumping right to the negative of everything. So we had a conversation and coached her through, okay, like what's out of harmony here? Well, I'm just not feeling appreciated or I'm not feeling valued. And my voice isn't speaking up. So we talked through different strategies, took her through some exercises in the book, and she did not quit. She is still there. She just got a promotion.
Yay.
And I just spoke to the CEO yesterday who was telling me that she is the best person in the company in terms of building culture on her team.
That is great. Yeah. That is great. And I think that actually that's pretty applicable to, I think, most professional environments right now, because, you know, when you talk about sort of like work is work, it's hard. Yeah. There's always more to do than you have time for or resources to do, and sort of, and being heard as a team member is one of those things that really gets to employee engagement. And the like. So that's great that they can apply, people can apply these principles and hopefully find more of that wonder shift in their work. So this has been great. And Judy, I just want to close out with, I always love to ask experienced women their best advice for younger aspiring women.
Oh, gosh. I think I have two. Can I give two?
You can give two.
Okay. One.
Quick ones.
Okay. One is, show up on the darkest of days, the hardest of days, the toughest of days. Show up and be present, because it is those days that you will grow the most as a human. The second is, be as intentional about your recovery as you are about the grind.
Okay.
I hear so many people who don't stop and then they get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And taking a pause is okay. And it's part of what makes us successful. So
those are great. And this has been an excellent Inspiring Women conversation. And I've been speaking with Judy Goldberg. And Judy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Lori.
This has been an episode of Inspiring Women with Lori McGraw. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We are produced by Kate Cruz at Executive Podcast Solutions. More episodes can be found on inspiringwomen.show. I am Lori McGraw, and thank you for listening.